I'm glad you're here. It's good to be together as a family, and this morning is kind of special. My name is Steve McEnroy. I'm one of the pastors, and we're doing a five-week vision series. So really, this portion of our church teachings, we do different things. We've been going through the book of John, and that's been awesome, and we'll pick up again on that in a few weeks here. But for this week, we're going to continue. This is part two of our Win, Build, Send vision series, which is really for the family, for the core of the church. If this is your first time visiting, or you feel like you're really kind of fairly new, man, you can sure glean from this, but this is really directed at the family or the core. And I just want you to know, at this church, there's an open door. If you're interested in being a part of this church or going a little bit deeper, oh my goodness, we invite you to do that. If you go to another church, well, this may not necessarily apply to you. But in this vision series, we would just want to be just real clear kind of where our church is headed for 2015 and what we're trusting God for. So even for you, and you know, it's really kind of amazing that a lot of people, a lot of folks will actually watch the messages online. We record all of our messages. So we have 9 pastors, and we have 4 different locations, so there's a lot of teaching going on. And you'd really be amazed, I don't have the actual stats, but a lot of people actually watch the video. They watch online or something like that for one reason or another. I know some friends personally that aren't here this morning, but they will watch it. So for all of you out there in video land, hi out there, and come to the house once in a while. We'd love to have you here. So I don't know with that crackling, if we'll need to use a handheld or what you think on that, but maybe it doesn't bother anybody but me. So with that, we'll kind of get going. We're gonna the Win, Build, Send. If you've been coming here for a while, you know our vision for this church is one life at a time, one world in our lifetime. And then the mission to accomplish that, what we're talking about is one life, one person coming to Christ, one person getting filled with the Spirit, one life at a time, coming together as believers, and one world in our lifetime. We're on world conquest. We really believe that. This little tiny church, us, brothers and sisters, we're on world conquest. And the mission that we believe God has given to our church, you would know that, is win the lost. We believe God uses us. God saves people. He's the one that does all that. And he's ultimately our pastor, but he uses us to win the lost, hold those back that are staggering towards slaughter, and to build up those believers. So once someone comes to know Jesus, then they're in a family where they can grow, where leaders can be raised up, where people can be discipled, where we grow in Christ together as a family. That's what I'm really talking about this morning, is that core, that family. And then the last section is send. We send the sanctified. When someone gets filled up with the Spirit, when they grow, then there's opportunities to send people to different places, or even right to our own city here, to send the sanctified. When people come to know the Lord and there's a need, then we can send. Now, what I'm just going to kind of describe that as today is the vehicle. I'm going to call the Win, Build, Send the vehicle, because ultimately we need all parts of that in our walk of faith. We need to be winning the lost. We need to be in a place where we can grow and be built up. And we need to be sending. We need to be a sending church as well, to reach the world. So I've just been thinking about that and preparing for this message, and that really look at that as the vehicle that God has us on while we're here, this walk of faith, as we live it out together. Look at that this morning as the vehicle. You know, Winston Churchill once said, however beautiful the strategy, once in a while you have to measure the results. You know, no matter how beautiful the strategy, once in a while you have to measure the results or measure the fruit. And you know, our church does well in the win category. I think if we really drill down on it, on my personality, that's the part I really get excited about, the win. I just kind of, I can't, I get, it's like I want to charge the hill. I want to see people saved. I want to win the lost. I want to be right in that. I want to be at the campuses. I want to see people won. And our church, if we look at it, if we measure the results, I think in the build, we would probably across the board agree, at least for our Provo location, and not necessarily only our Provo location, is we've been weak in the area of build. And I think it's time that we recognize that. I think that even as leaders, there's a time you have to go, you know what? We need to build. We need to come together. We need to help people grow in their faith so that they'll be more committed, so they'll want to be a part of what God's doing. So this morning, the crux of this is going to be build. And lots of these truths, you guys know, you've been a part of that. But if we look at it, if we think of our life groups, really the attendance of that, it is just very low. Not many of the core family are participating. I mean, it's under 30%. And if we look, oh my goodness, don't look at the money, but when we do, it's like, oh my goodness, there's just not that many people committed. You know, so those areas we have to look at and say, okay, God, help us grow. Help us to know how to do that. So I trust he has some things for you this morning. I know for me, it's been great for me to dig into this. And it's not necessarily anything new under the sun, but I think it's good to be reminded and stirred up in the faith for what God has for us. I like this quote from Rick Whitney. And Rick Whitney is one of our founding pastors. He's one of the guys that kind of helped start this movement back in the 70s. He was one of the guys that got on the bus and went to campuses with Campus Crusade and really where our movement of churches really got fired up and going. But I like this quote from Rick. It says, "We believe that God wants to energize, equip, and use every believer to communicate the gospel to this generation. We believe that his vehicle to accomplish this is the local church. The church is a living, growing thing. We believe that his church is sufficient to accomplish the task of reaching the world. And we believe that the church, which embraces God's New Testament pattern, will remain God's primary vehicle by which he will speak the gospel to this world." And I would agree with that. I would agree that that's where God will speak the gospel to this world. Men and women who are involved in church, who are involved in community, who are involved in the body of Christ, who build into each other, and God uses to reach others for Christ. I believe that with all my heart. There's some scriptures just to back that up. There's a couple different ways we can look at that. We can look at that as together. And we can look at our own personal walk with the Lord, which is paramount. That comes first. Do you know the Lord? How hot are you for the Lord? How's your relationship with the Lord? How is it growing? Is it anemic? You know, sometimes, personally, each one of us, we need to take a look at our own lives. We need to examine our own lives. I like what it says. The author of Hebrews writes this in chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." This important component of this walk of faith is to be in a family of faith. It's an important part that people often miss. People like to be lone ranger for some reason. But God's design scripturally, as we study the New Testament, people are together as a family of believers, and it's beautiful. I like this verse from Matthew talking about the foundation of our own faith personally, plus I think it can apply to the church. Read this with me. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Have you built your house on the rock? Have you built your house on Jesus? I like the next verse that comes, is 25. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew, beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Is your foundation on the rock? If the storms of life come, do you have a firm foundation? Are you personally connected to the Lord? Are you responsible? Are you stepping into that? Are you reading His Word? Are you praying? Are you striving to grow? Are you striving to be a disciple of Christ? I think that's a good example. You know, the storms come. You know, Paul and I have been praying that there would be just like a fountain of water for baptism so that there'd always be. And I think it's starting to happen. If you walk back over here, there's water pouring into the building. Over here, there's water pouring in the building. You know, if you really want to get baptized this morning, I could find you a puddle of water that's probably deep enough to submerge you completely. But the guys, the roofers that were here that I was talking to the other day, they were just joking at me, "Oh, Pastor, you can use the Noah example now." It's like, just fix the roof, right? I'm tired of the water examples. But that's what we want. That's our heart. More, 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 more. It's the gospel. That's the core of what we're a part of. Following Christ, that's the guy. We want people to get baptized. We want them to be Spirit-filled. We want them to do all kinds of crazy things for the Lord. We want to see and help let good things run wild. We are the church. We are God's people. We are the church. Jesus is our head, and we are the body. And we need to respond accordingly. And in this vehicle, if you will, the wind-built sent, we're on the road trip of life, really living out our faith. And each one of us, we're in such different places. Some of you are hot for the Lord. And by golly, I want to be right there with you because I need to be stirred up. I need to be around people that are hot for the Lord, not people that are complacent. And those of us that maybe at times you're complacent, get near the heat. We need to stir one another up in faith. That's God's design for us. And if you look at it like a vehicle, okay, think about a car, maybe kind of like a Bentley. Maybe your faith is just, man, I'm in this car, and it's just everything is going right. Maybe that's how your faith is. You're just, you know, in this my vehicle faith, everything's hitting on all cylinders, and God bless you. That's wonderful. I pray for all of us to get to that place. But I think in all reality, most of us are kind of involved in this demolition derby type of thing. Trust me, I know. I know a lot of you, and I know what it can be like. And some people, you know, We can tend to put this mask on, too, that we got it all together, my faith. I'm a Jesus lover. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Watch me raise my hands. But yet our walk of faith is just this smash and crash and bash and back and forth and emotional, and this happened and that happened. And oh, God help us. We need help. This morning I just want to talk about three ways to keep your faith running strong. Keep it rolling. Really simple, elementary things, but it's good to be reminded and stirred up. I know it's good for me, so it's been good for me to dig in and grapple with these truths. So I'm going to pray one more time. I ask you to pray with me. Ultimately, you know, we want to follow Jesus. We want God's help. He's the one we need. So I'll just pray with me. God, I just pray for your help. I pray you'd help this little church, God. I pray you'd help build us up into exactly what you want. Father God, I pray you pour your Spirit, you come in power in our lives, mentally, physically, spiritually. Pray you protect us and direct us in this place that you've placed us, Father God. We love you. And we just, together, I think we just united that ask you for help, God. We want to hear from you today. And I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. I think maybe this monitor's cranked way up here, Trina. This monitor right here, maybe that's a little hot right now. Okay, three ways to keep your faith running strong. Just three simple ways. You got a handout, you can follow along with me. And That's the first one. Follow. Follow. A good way to keep your faith running strong is to follow. You might seem, well, you know, of course, the first and foremost, the most important thing is what's that again? Wow, I'm hearing voices in that speaker. That's weird. The first and foremost is to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus. You know, I say, oh, yeah, yeah. I know that. I get that. Well, are you? Are you following Jesus? Maybe step one, are you following Christ? You know, Jesus is always the right answer. So do you have a relationship with Jesus, first off? If you're a part of this family of believers, I trust you do, and you're growing in the Lord. Are you taking steps day in and day out to grow personally? I cannot be your personal Holy Spirit. You have to take that reins on your own and get with God and pray to God and know Him. His Word's what sets us free. If you're feeling persecuted, if you're stressed, if it seems like things are falling apart, you know what will help you? God's Word. And we just, sometimes it's just so elementary that we just go, oh, is that really true? Yes! Yes! You got to take care of yourself. Just like anything, just like your physical health, our spiritual health is way more important than your physical health. Your spiritual self, you need to take strides, each and one of us, to have a vibrant relationship with Jesus. You know, we played this game, compatibility, at my house the other day during the holidays, my family and I, and it's just like a deck of pictures, of photos, and they give you a word like love. Give three words, and you have a partner. Give three pictures that would think your partner might say. So my wife and I, of course, were partnered up, and we've been together for 30 years, so you'd think we'd be pretty compatible by now. We're working it out anyway. But in the game, there's actually one of the photos is a cross. Some of the photos we had to take out just because they were suggesting, but we have sun. There's a cross there, and there's like the sun's coming up over the cross. So my wife and I, that's pretty much a no-brainer. If one of the words, we can look at each other and go, our first one's going to be, because you can't see the other person's card, is this cross. And when you turn them over, it's like, oh, we matched. But it's, you can always just about count on maybe every other team turn, Jeannie and I are putting the cross. We look over each other. Oh, I knew you'd say that. Oh, I knew you'd say that too. Jesus. Jesus is always the right answer. And it is. And He is. Not it. He is. Jesus is. We need Him so desperately. Every inch of our being. In our bills. In our marriage. In our parenting. In your singleness. In your homelessness. In your addictions. We need Christ. We cannot leave Him on the shelf. That power of the universe, the Creator, is available to us. Those of us who are believers, He lives inside of us. I talked about that at Christmas time. God is with us. We need to be men and women, learn how to follow. Pay attention to Him. Pay attention to Him. I like what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus told His disciples, if anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. You might say, oh my gosh, Mac, that is so elementary. When are you going to feed us something that will sustain us? Well, you keep feasting on this. It will sustain you. Keep feasting on the truths of the Bible, what God has for us, and it will sustain you, it will help you, it will direct you, it will protect you. We need to be men and women that quit yearning for the things of this world. We need to learn to follow before we can lead. I know some people will aspire to be a leader, will then learn how to follow and follow well and support your leaders. It all fits together, following Christ. He puts people in our lives to help us along the way. But it's like kind of like Saddam Hussein. Let me use this example. Saddam Hussein, when he was captured, he did all these horrific things. And when finally the rat was cornered in the hole and surrounded, and there's no way out, all the wrong that he did was he was finally facing it. He's surrounded, and this is what he said when he came out. This is what he said to his captors. He said, "I surrender. Now let's negotiate." It's like, negotiate what? You know, in our faith, there is, and we've talked about this, a surrendering to the Lord. That's what really happens. There's a submission that happens, a surrender, a transfer of trust, a trusting myself and my own ways and all that I can do to work and get to heaven. And then there's a transfer of trust when we surrender and say, no, I can't do it. My works mean nothing. They don't mean squat. They don't help at all. They don't get me eternal life. There's a surrender, a submission, a receiving of Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong, those works are important, and this love affair produces a works and a relationship that's like it's like a blossoming flower. It's just absolutely undescribable. A heart that's fully surrendered to Christ, it's transformed. You get a heart transplant. And everything you do changes then. And it's Jesus' way. It's God's way. It's what the Bible tells me. It's how can I obey more? It's this, it's that. It's staying away from this thing and running towards that. The things that the Bible spells out for us that God gives us. Sometimes it's almost so elementary that we miss it. I surrender. Let's negotiate. I'm still negotiating that, God. I can't give you that addiction. I'm still negotiating here. Let's negotiate, God. I'm not going to give you all of my life, my heart. Let's negotiate. Let's work it out, God. I still got some world out here. I want to deal in this pornography just a little bit longer. I want to just look at it. Or I want to try this thing. I'm not ready to surrender completely. Let's negotiate, God. And what happens? It train wrecks our walk of faith. Our vehicle's like a demolition derby. It's like, why are things going wrong? Think about it. A life of sin does not honor God. It will not flourish. It will not flourish and look exactly like what he has. Because God wants his best for us. He does. And oftentimes we're just stubborn little kids and we turn away from it. We need to learn how to follow, man. I do. I need to grow in this area where I'm paying attention to my King, the director of my life, the author of my life, the only one that's perfect. That's who I want to follow. I don't want to get my directions from the internet. No thanks. I want it from the Lord. I want to hear from him, me and him and his word, quietly, personally, away from the fray. Sometimes you got to go and just shut off all the noise so you can hear from the Lord. I like this verse from John. Just recently, we had this in our John study. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. That's security. If you're a believer, if you've surrendered to the Lord, if you know him, no one can snatch you out of his hands. I often tell people that when they're in distress and just hurting. If you're a believer, no one, no matter what it looks like, can snatch you out of his hands. That's security. That's eternal security. That's what helps us in this walk of life when we start just grabbing a hold of that. He initiates, God initiates, reveals himself to us, and he follows through, continues to draw, and there's a sanctification, a redemption, all those beautiful things we see unfold from the Lord. He knows. He knows exactly what we need, and he knows what we need to grow in, and he knows what we need to follow in. I like this quote from from Jim Elliot. It says, rest in this. It is his business to lead, command, impel, send, call, or whatever you want to call it. It is your business to obey, follow, move, respond, or what have you. It's our business to obey, follow, move, respond, or what have you. I agree with that. I like this verse from Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. You know, if I don't spend time with my wife, our relationship goes flat. Why would it be any different, my relationship with the Lord? If you're not married yet or never experienced that, you need to know that in your singleness, that God has that for you. He can fill up every void of your life. He's everything. And your relationship with Him is enough. It's more than enough to help you through the stages of life that you might be in right now. He knows. Not only does He give us His Spirit, so His Spirit lives inside of us. He gives us that. He's at work very carefully, taking every part of our life. In some places, He's just basically rebuilding it. And then He puts us with the family. It's biblical to be with the church, to be with other believers. It's important. It's a part of our walk of faith. I think there's a big difference between being a part of a family of believers and a monk on a mountain. Maybe someone's called to be on that mountain. I think as I look at New Testament Christianity, I don't see it. I see God calling people to be together and living out their faith together. And there's strength in that, and there's safety in that. We need to be a part of that. And in this vehicle, if you will, that's what I'm calling it, when you get into that vehicle of faith, this walk of life, there's all different kinds of roles. There's mechanics. There's people that actually drive the vehicle. There's people that paint it. There's people that design it. There's people that clean up after it. There's just all kinds of different roles that God gives us along the way. And I'm so thankful for that. There's youth group leaders, there's pastors, there's small group leaders. There's all kinds of different leaders that God puts in our lives. And I think it's important for us to learn how to follow our leaders as well. Look at this verse again from 1 Corinthians. And I think it's a good example that Paul gives us of discipleship. That's why I have sent Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. He will remind you of how I follow Christ Jesus, just as I teach in all the churches wherever I go. You see a real picture there of Paul himself talking about how he follows Jesus, yet he's writing to his beloved disciple, Timothy. There's just a relationship of Christ followers together as family. And of course, we all know that Paul was very influential in Timothy's life. He discipled him. He helped him. And here we see Paul as well teaching this to the churches, saying discipleship is important. Be with people. Find someone who's a mentor. Find someone who's a step behind you and help them. That's one of the best ways to grow is by helping others. That's where I've learned the most. I certainly haven't arrived yet, but helping others is where I grow. Because it challenges me to dig into what I really believe. And God gives us that discipleship model. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, it says, remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. There is a following that is required of us. And I think that let's just agree, it's how hard to play the game of follow the leader. It is. Look at America. People don't want to follow leaders. They want to go off on their own tangent. I'm not saying that as one of your leaders, I've got it all together. I don't. God is helping me. But He is. I'm accountable to God. And there is a role for leaders, and I think even as a church, and maybe the American church just really needs to hear this. To follow, remember your leaders, follow their example. They're living examples that God gives us in life. Right now, you have people in your life that God has put in your life for that specific purpose to help you. Think of your own situation. Are you following a leader? Crickets. Because it's easy to get off track and think, well, I go to church and I have this, but is there someone in life where you're seeking counsel from them? You know, should I do this or should I do that? Or are you just, I did that, and you go tell them, look what I did. Or is there someone that you've come under authority? I know that word is so freaky, but it's so good. Best thing for my life. I was Mr. Anti-authority until God got a hold of my heart and I understood the different people that he put in my life was for my own good. And I listened to them and follow them and support their vision and be a part of what they're doing. It's been so good for my life. But I really think that's a part of discipleship that people kind of struggle with. Is following and listening. Oh, it's hard to listen to someone else's agenda. You mean, this isn't, I need to follow that? I didn't even know about it. Well, God does put leaders in position and he directs them and protects them. Certainly, he uses the body altogether, but there is a role for leaders and it's biblical. God will help us with it. It's God's New Testament design. I like this quote from A.W. Tozer. It says, the true church has never sounded out public expectations before launching her mission. Her leaders heard from God, they knew their Lord's will, and did it. Their people followed them, sometimes to triumph, oftener to insults and public persecution, and their sufficient reward was a satisfaction of being right in a wrong world. That's a good quote. My second point, just second way to keep your, and I'm just hitting on this, is be with God's people, to keep your faith running strong. Be with God's people. Get in the vehicle full of believers for a life of faith together. This is our time. It's not a time to hold back. This is our time to jump in. You don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out on what God has for us. It's his plan. Look at what it says Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Read this with me. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. That's that togetherness, that's community, whatever you want to call it, the body of Christ, that's biblical, that's from the Lord. It's important that we come together and know each other and work through our differences and grow in excitement for the things of the Lord. Paul, again, describes more in Romans here. Romans is just such a beautiful book. I think we could just survive on just staying in the book of Romans. It's so thorough in unpacking the truths of God. Here, Paul describes the body. So here it is scripturally. If you're about to nod off, wake up. Here it is. Here's the description, okay? And this is biblical. It's a directive from our King. He doesn't hide things from us. He shows us what's best for us. Chapter 12, verses 9 through 18. Let's read all of this. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Goes on to say, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. goes on to say, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. And finally, verses 17 and 18, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. You know, at the beginning of this, that's such good scripture. You know, you can just go home and just go over that today. Go over that again and again and again. It's just a beautiful picture, I think, of what God intends for his church, for our walk of faith, for this vehicle of faith that we're on. He just paints such broad strokes that are just so clear that we can obey and follow and step in and live out this life of faith and trust that he will grow us as we listen to him, as we do what he tells us to do. You know, one of my study Bibles is edited by R.C. Sproul, and I really like what it said about Romans 12:9, the first verse where it says, let love be genuine. In my study Bible, in R.C. Sproul there, he says, you know, in the old dramatic, the old actors used to wear a mask back in the day, the classical drama. Back in the day, you'd wear a mask as that was what you'd use for your role. It'd just be a, like maybe in this big open coliseum, and they would be acting out some sort of drama, and they would just wear a mask, and that would mean so much. When he's talking about love, let your love be genuine. It's not wearing that mask and looking through the little eye holes and staying in our own little world. Oftentimes in faith, in our walk, that's what we have this mask on, and I'm one way here, and then I get over here, and it's like, here's who I really am. Well, let me put on the mask. It's Sunday morning. Oh, there's Pastor Mac in the grocery store. Oh, my goodness. What's he renting? What is that? I'm going to go in the liquor store with my mask on. Hope nobody sees me. Let love be genuine. The Spirit of God lives in us. God himself. Let that just radiate from you. Let God's love be who you are. Man, I want to grow in that area. I just want to be in an authentic community with you guys, with my... just my life being a reflection of Jesus. And in and of myself, I just cannot do that. I try to keep my relationship with the Lord hot. I need others. You need others. We need to be together. That's by God's design. And ultimately, it's just so, so beautiful. Another good quote by Charles Spurgeon. Some Christians try to go to heaven alone, in solitude. But believers are not compared to bears or lions or other animals that wander alone. Those who belong to Christ are sheep in this respect, that they love to get together. Sheep go in flocks, and so do God's people. Man, I think that's just a good quote. Many of you know my grandson, Abel. I love Abel so much. And I can learn so much from him. You know, sometimes I can get grumpy. You know, I can. Caleb told me, I was having lunch with Caleb one day, and he told me, you know, Abel was riding his little tricycle saying, I want to go to church, Daddy. I want to go to church, Daddy. I want to go to church. And get on my bike, and I want to go to church. I want to see Sawyer. You know, little soldier there. Man, I can learn from him. You know, church is not just an event. Life group is not just an event. This life we lead is, we need to help each other just be excited about Jesus. I'm going to go to church. It's foggy and rainy and cold. And the church leaks like crazy. And my brothers and sisters are going to be there, and they love me, and I love them. And together we are going to worship God in all our brokenness and all of our mistakes and all of our poor choices. together we're going to inspire each other on to love and good works. Because apart from that, who's going to inspire you? What are you getting inspired by? Certainly, your own personal, again, that comes first, you and Jesus. There's something about the body of Christ that's an important element in our walk of faith. You need to embrace it. Be excited about it. Give people grace. Love them. Help them. Help me. Give me grace. We need each other. We're not exactly alike. We never will be. It would be so boring if we were. I need people that are just way different than me in my life to help me in those areas I don't get, I don't understand. I'm so thankful for so many of you. Goodness, if Brent wasn't around, I would never figure anything out. Technical. If Caleb wasn't here, probably wouldn't be much singing going on. And I could talk to each one of you. Each one of you brings something to this family. And that's by God's design. And it's beautiful. None of us, you know, I don't stand in this alone. You don't want a rock star pastor. I could never be that anyway, but that would not be healthy. In humility, all of us need to learn just to be humble, follow Jesus together, watch him raise up leaders, watch him multiply everything that he's doing. You know, and it's generational. You that are raising families have a responsibility to be an example to your children. There have been times where my children, and even maybe you as a church, have witnessed me being maybe a little short or consumed with leaky roofs or whatever. And I'd ask you for forgiveness for that. Sometimes I can be kind of short. And even my own family, they see the stress that's put upon me sometimes. And my kids can look at that and say, I don't want what Dad has today, whatever that is. Why would I want to walk in faith like his stressful countenance? And I look back at my grandson. That's for 2015 for me. I want to be more like him. I'm going to church. I get to be with somebody. Somebody might complain to me. It's going to be awesome. You know, everything's just not perfect. What can I bring? How can I help be the solution? How can I be the change agent over here? How can I be a part of this? We're together. We put aside our differences and run hard after Jesus. That's what I want to do, guys. I want you with me. I want to run hard for Jesus. I want you to help me. I want to help you. God has such good plans for us. He's promised. My last point is consider becoming involved in a life group. That's not the end all. I understand a Bible study, a life group is not it's not all of your walk of faith. There's so many different things that come into play. You got to be a studier on your own. You got to go deeper on your own. You might have a partner in that, and you guys can be Bible study partners together, but it all fits. Okay, this event this morning, Sunday morning, God wants us to meet together and be here, but it's more than just come and have my cup of coffee and leave. How can you serve? How can you bring something to the family reunion that we have every Sunday? Every Sunday we come together as a family. You know what? We have guests. It's a glory to God, and it just honors him. I know churches that are tanking that have never had guests. We have guests so much that we almost take it for granted. We think, well, most likely there'll be a new person at church on Sunday morning. Well, if there is, well, I love on them. We'd be a family that our love for each other just overflows, and people say, man, I want to be with them. This is beautiful. Look how much they love each other. Look how they serve each other. Look how they care about what happens. I need that, and they do need that. Our expression of faith will be attractive to the world. You can look at Acts. As the brothers and sisters lived it out in the book of Acts. Most of you are familiar with these verses, Acts 2, 46 and 47. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Boy, that's the church. That's the church in the vehicle, doing what God's called us to do. It's absolutely beautiful. This life of faith, we need God's grace to make sure that we positioned ourselves in this vehicle God's given us. Now, I invite you to come Tuesday night to the life group. I want you to be a part of that. I don't want another event in your life. What we want as a church, we want the best for everybody. We want God's best. And that is life lived out in community. Are we perfect? No. Some relationships will just be natural. You'll meet someone and it's like, oh, you and I are BFFs. And other ones are like, I just can't be with that person. God works through that. There's been so many people in my life where I thought, I just cannot be with that person, and they become my best friends. Certainly a lot of it is just kind of grassroots or organic, because we meet people in our neighborhoods. That's a part of it. The people in our neighborhoods, we meet them, we invite them to church. Why do we invite them to church? Because we want more for them. If they don't know Jesus, we want them to be around people that do know Jesus, so maybe God might use those people to win them to Jesus. And then they might become actually part of our family. Then they can really grow and live the full life that God's promised. When you're hitting on all cylinders, you're excited about all of it. Even the leaky roofs, it's like that's part of it. For some reason God has leaky roofs there. It's good for us to clean it up together. It's just okay, I'm part of a family. Now that I'm a parent and even a grandparent, I've seen some family dynamics. I've grown up as my parents, broken families and stuff. I've seen family dynamics and things just kind of change. God will always change and shake things up. I'm thankful for that. But I'm thankful for the family of Christ, because I know it's where I need to be. And you know what? With all my heart, I believe it's where you need to be. Else I wouldn't even been here. I wouldn't even come this morning if I didn't believe that with all my heart. I trust God has more for us. I like this quote that I'll end with from R.C. Sproul. It says, "The visible church may be distressingly and sorely fractured and fragmented into all different kinds of denominations and groups. But the invisible church is the true body of Christ. Everyone who is in Christ and in whom Christ dwells is a member of this one universal church." I agree with that. As believers, God's given us our little church when we're united with other little churches and we're united with other bigger churches, all those that love Jesus, love the Bible, follow him and the truths of the faith. We want to be united with them, our family. We want to be in that family reunion. So I just challenge you to get in the vehicle, to be a part of what God's doing. Even if you're newer here, man, I welcome you into that. You'll love it. It's the best thing for you. And those of us who have been running for a while, man, reboot. Get excited again. Be a part of what God's doing. He loves to take small things and multiply them. And I trust that's what he's going to do with us in 2015. And I just can't hardly wait. It's going to be so good. And I'm thankful for all of you. And I am preaching to the choir. There's a good bunch of people here, and I'm thankful to be with you. I'll pray now, and we'll sing a couple more songs together. Jesus, I love you. I thank you for my family. Thank you that I get to sing to you with them. I thank you for this old building, Lord, and I just thank you for you, first and foremost, that you've saved most of us in here, God. You've come to draw us to yourself. You've put your spirit inside of us. You live inside of us. We're different now, and you're at work in our lives. And I just praise you and thank you for that, Lord. Help us to be good followers, Lord, by your Spirit, give us grace, give us mercy. Show us, Lord. Have mercy on Utah County, Lord. And come in power and save souls. And I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen.